Good morning, and thank you all for joining the call regarding ISO's announcement earlier this week to become a certified reliability coordinator. The discussion today will be focused on what that means and how we plan to get there. We will have time at the end of the call or after the presentation to answer some questions, so we'll give you some instruction at that time for how to enter the queue. I'm Christina Osborne. I work in stakeholder affairs. We have Didi Sabatki from Operations Engineering. He's one of our presenters, as well as Phil Pettengill from Regional and Federal Affairs. We do have Eric Schmidt on the line, who is the VP of Operations. He will not be presenting, but just to make you aware of that. We have John Anders joining us from Legal. And from our Media Relations Office, we have Ann Gonzalez and Officer Hidalgo in the room. So if there are any reporters on the line, please follow up, send follow-up questions to them. We are recording today's call. We'll make that available on our website. It'll be on the Key Topics page where all of the other information regarding this effort is housed. And so with that, Phil's going to kind of go over our plan and talk about the next steps for the initiative at the end. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Phil.
Sure. Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Christina, for getting us started here. This is Phil Pettengill. What I thought I'd do is just sort of open us up here a little bit, and then I'm going to hand it over to Didi, and then we'll come back to me, and we'll walk through what it is that the ISO is planning to do here over the course of the time, over the next few months. I wanted to open up by just first, reiterating what you've seen in our press release and our notice that the ISO has decided to offer RC services not only to our balancing area, but throughout the Western Interconnection, and we'll talk some more about that. But this is really something that we've been watching in the West for a period of time, and really the announcement from the Mountain West Transmission Group early last year in terms of their potential leaving PEEC, and then more recently on December 7th, the announcement of PEEC and PJM to offer market services in the West have really triggered what it is that that we're going to talk about today. And that is that when we heard from MWTG early last year, we took it under advisement that there was some significant change in the West, and we then started to look at what are our options and what are the things available to us and how we might mitigate the risk in terms of cost structure, but also trying to ensure that we can have reliable operations for our customers as well. And so that really led us then to the announcement we made here on January 2nd of this year to become an RC and then offer those RC services throughout the rest of the West. So what we thought we'd do here to start with is, first of all, just do a little level setting in terms of what is the RC? What is this reliability coordinator? Where does it come from? What's its primary function? And I want to ask Didi Sabatki to do that for us here. And then we'll dive into a little bit more about the project and what we intend to do over the next 18 to 20 months. So, Didi?
Thanks, Phil. Good morning, everyone. My name is Didi Sabatki. I'm Director of Operation Engineering Services here in California, ISO. What we thought would be useful for us to just do what Phil said as a level setting and explain just kind of briefly information on what is a reliability coordinator, or as a short we call it an RC. Reliability coordinator is really a NERC defined terminology. It's actually approved by FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Council. And so when we talk about RC or reliability coordinator, it's actually a defined term, and it's actually defined as the entity that is the highest level of authority who is responsible for reliable operation of the bulk electric system. RCs actually, or reliability coordinator, has the wide area view of the bulk electric system, and it has the operating tools, processes, procedures, including the authority to prevent or mitigate emergency operating situations in both next day analysis time frame and the real-time operation time frame. Reliability coordinator has the purview that is broad enough to enable calculation of interconnection reliability operating limits, which may be based on the operating parameters of the transmission system beyond any of the transmission operator creation. So in essence, reliability coordinators really is an entity that provides wide area monitoring for the transmission system operation. Among other things, RC, reliability coordinator, provides system restoration coordination. It also provides outage coordination services, They have operation planning assessment as well as real-time assessment for its area. Reliability coordinators has to be certified by NERC. NERC has delegation agreement where its regional entity will do the certification process for RC. So for our purpose today, the discussion today, the certification for California ISO will include WEC in the process itself. I do want to share a little bit background on the electric power grid in the Northern America, again for level setting. When you think about North America is really comprised of five major power grid or five power grid, what we call an interconnection. There are five interconnections in the Northern America, two major or two larger ones, and then three minor or smaller interconnections. The largest one of that is what we call the Eastern Interconnection. Eastern Interconnection reaches from central Canada eastward to Atlantic coast. And then if you look at it from west to the Florida, that's Eastern Interconnection. That's the largest interconnection in the North America. And the second largest one in the Western is the Western Interconnection. That's the one that is from Western Canada. If you go down south to Baja California in Mexico, and then it reaches eastward towards the Rockies to the Great Plains. The remaining three are smaller interconnection. Those are the Texas, Quebec, and Alaska. Now, if we want to focus on the four interconnection that we have, setting aside the Alaska interconnection, if we focus on that four, there are actually currently 16 entities offering RC services in this four interconnection. Currently, the smaller two interconnection, meaning ERCOT and Quebec, they are the only one that actually they each have a single RC services provided within its interconnection. When you look at the major or larger two interconnection, both Western and Eastern interconnection currently have multiple RC service providers. In the Western interconnection itself, right now, there are two providers of the RC services. There will be three when California ISO is certified. In the Eastern interconnection, which is the largest interconnection, right now there are 12 reliability coordinators. Comparing the RC footprint, that's the RC footprint, and the ISO footprint, independent system operators, a little bit here in the North America, there are currently 9 independent system operators. California ISO is one of the 9. Interesting basic point here, each and every one of the ISO right now is they are currently providing RC services. California ISO is actually the only one that is the only ISO that is currently not offering reliability coordinator services. So in summary, we believe that the concept of multiple RC providers within an interconnection is not new. We also believe that the concept of an ISO providing RC services is also not new. So California ISOs will continue to coordinate and work with other RC providers in the Western Interconnection and will continue to provide independent and reliability service for its footprint. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Phil.
All right. Well, thank you, Dee Dee. So I wanted to now start to transition into what are we doing with the project. And just to reiterate back with my opening remarks about how we were monitoring what was going on in the rest of this Western interconnection, as Dee Dee was describing, we started an internal effort to look at what our options were and how we might respond. And what I want to walk through with you now is a project plan that we've conducted and walk through some of the details of that in terms of how we intend to stand up RC services. So first of all, let me start with scope. What we are offering and what we intend to build over these next few months is an RC offering that it provides the core services that are required from any RC. And those really are ones that Dee Dee touched on. To basically provide the oversight, the outage coordination of a much larger footprint. So we'll stand up those core services, but then also there are hosted applications that are necessary to support some of the other balancing areas that maybe are smaller in the West or need some of those additional services. And just to give you an idea what that is, Dee Dee mentioned real-time analysis. And so real-time contingency analysis is certainly a hosted application that we want to make available. So the combination of the core services and these hosted applications then provides the full breadth of services that folks in the West are currently receiving from Peak Reliability Organization. And that's what we intend to try to make available to everyone as we offer the service as well. So if we think about the why to do this, I do want to touch on the issue of cost. As I mentioned, with MWTG leaving, there's a potential for increased cost. There's certainly going to be restructuring of the offering of RC services. But where we're at now is we've assessed what we can do to offer this service is we can offer it to not only our balancing area, but certainly to the rest of the interconnection for at least 50% less than what the current costs are from peak reliability organization. And I want to reinforce the reason why I say at least 50% is because it is dependent on how many different entities would potentially come and join the ISO and receive RC services from us for that service. So depending on how many entities are, then we can start to leverage the service. One of the things we've done in our project here is recognize that RC is scalable. And so that's why I reinforce the fact that we can start with just our balancing area and then potentially expand that service offering to additional balancing areas. And let me take this point, because Dee Dee talked about, you know, the RCs across the West, but it's important to understand that in the Western interconnection, or at least within the WEC, and let me define that for you, the Western Electric Coordinating, there are 38 other balancing areas. And so there is certainly a number of different balancing areas that may want to take service from the ISO and take up this opportunity. Let's talk about schedule for a second and just reinforce what we said in our press release. I want to try to clarify two key things. We were required under the agreement for the funding parties, currently with PEAK, to pay those PEAK costs for a minimum of 18 months. Now, you've noticed that we've announced or we've provided 20 months worth of notice. And so we are intending to pay our full dues in order to support PEAK operations for that period of time. But the reason we elected to provide the 20 months is to allow us to engage with other BAs and interested in parties here over this next 60 days and help them understand what our offering is, what the opportunity is, and see if they were interested in receiving RC services from the ISO. The reason for that then is then they could provide notice to PEAK and still meet that 18-month notice requirement and then have a single cutover, or in other words, a more a smooth transition for entities that want to leave PEAK and come to ISO for receiving RC services at the same point in time. So what then you also see in our communications is us offering or producing those RC services as early as spring 2019. And the reason we're describing that is we're envisioning that the ISO would start RC services for our balancing area as early as May, but certainly in the May or June timeframe. That's why we describe it as spring. We would stand up those services and have those operating for some number of days, maybe 30, 60 days, ensuring that we've had a smooth transition for us to move away from PEAK. And then we would then take on the additional balancing areas that are interested in receiving services here and integrate them and have another parallel operations with PEAK for those entities, all of that then completing by September 1, which is the end of that 20-month period. So that's the way we're contemplating this cutover, and this is why you see two different dates in what we're communicating. So let me talk a little bit more about the transition, and more importantly, just we'll dive into a little bit of the schedule and what's going to be happening. We do intend to have a very open and transparent stakeholder process. As the ISO normally does, we'll have public meetings. We want to receive comments. We want to share with you our straw proposal and how we would propose to charge for this service. And so that stakeholder initiative will start here certainly by the second quarter. We'll have that up and running. And what we want to do is engage with all stakeholders in regards to what's the appropriate rates, terms, and conditions for the ISO providing RC services. We expect that to run for a couple of quarters, 5 to 6 months, and at that point we'll be ready to then make the appropriate FERC filings and get our tariff revised and approved so that we could then communicate to everybody specifically how's the rates, terms, conditions, and agreements that will be necessary to receive services from the ISO. So that's what we envision in the stakeholder process. And we'll, in our effort to reach out to all of you now as soon as possible, I want to come back to what you've also seen in our market notice, and that is we've scheduled 3 regional meetings throughout the western states. And so on January 17th, we intend to hold a stakeholder meeting here at the ISO headquarters, but then on the 18th, we'll be in Phoenix, and on January 19th, we'll be in Portland. And at that point, we'll be able to provide a lot more detail and specifics in regards to the scheduling of that stakeholder initiative and how we'll run that initiative, and we want to be able to inform all of you what to expect from us as we try to seek your input in designing the rate structure and the conditions for receiving the service. So that'll happen sort of in the middle of the year. Of course, then what we'll do is we'll also start working on systems work and the rest of the things we need to do at the ISO. But ultimately, just thinking about this in these 3 main blocks, the last third of the project schedule we'll need to reserve for the certification process. And Dee Dee touched on that, and I wanted to just expand on that a little bit. Certainly, NERC is the reliability organization that oversees the RC function, and more generally across all of the interconnections. But WEC is the entity that would conduct the certification audit to verify that we are ready to stand up those services and operate at the appropriate time. So we reserved at least 6 months to work with the WEC organization, make sure we can provide the appropriate information to them and show that we've got the processes, procedures, and information flows established here at the ISO to provide the RC services. I think then, so the next steps you will hear from us is, or you'd like to, and invite you to those regional meetings where we can just provide much more detail in what it is we're doing, the details of that stakeholder process, and then we will be looking for interested parties to engage with us to design not only that rate structure, but also how we would administrate this RC function as we stand it up for not only our balancing area, but for the other BAs that are interested in joining us. So I think that's all I had in terms of sharing with you the project, and let's maybe just open it up for questions. So, Christina?
Sure. Before we do that, Asif, can you give us a count of how many people are on the phone?
At this time, we do have 269 participants on the line.
Great, thank you. So we are going to go ahead and open it up for questions. If you do have a question, you can enter the queue by pressing #2. Just please start by identifying yourself.
And we do have a few questions in the queue. The first caller's line has been unmuted.
Hi, this is Matt LaCara with PG&E. I have a question about the RC facilities. Would they be physically separate facilities, or are you envisioning standing up a separate desk within the existing control room?
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. This is Phil. I'll start off and see if we need to add any more content for you here. But our intention is to, first of all, add staff in order to be able to conduct this function. And we'll be adding enough staff that it will require an additional desk. And again, that's somewhat scalable depending on how many entities we have. But there will be additional operators that are focused on conducting the RC function.
So this is Nancy Trawick. We do right now, we're planning on having a desk within the control room as well as an additional desk in Lincoln. It's one of the requirements that you have to have continuous RC services, so we'll make sure that we have staff in both places.
Okay, and there's no restriction from a legal standpoint with sharing facilities, you know, having the RC desk in the same physical room as other ISO functions.
Matt, this is Didi. I think I like to chime in there. I think as I mentioned earlier, right now there are 9 ISOs in Northern America, and all 9 of them except California ISO are reliability coordinators. So the concept of ISO and reliability coordinator being in the same organization, the same control room, the same physical, are actually not a new concept in North America. And we believe there's no, this is not a precedent setting. This is actually in the normal, common operations of an ISO where every ISO is actually providing its own RC services.
And we don't have any legal concern about that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question, also.
And the next caller's line has been unmuted.
As Tony Braun, representing several public power entities, thank you, I assume, team, for setting this up and also the follow-on meetings. Starting off with, can I presume that the follow-on meetings are largely duplicative? You're just trying to spread it out regionally to get maximum participation? I don't know if the calendar.
Thanks, Tony. That's a great clarifying question. It is. We intend to cover the same content in all three of those. We just wanted to facilitate folks being able to attend them.
Yeah. So more to substance on the, as you know, the various entities that are funders of PEAK consider how this is going to play out and affect their own reliability obligations. Every time someone comes to you, you said it's scalable to receive RC services. Are there going to be associated regulatory approvals necessary to do that? Maybe sort of like a certification light as you expand the footprint, and are there various showings you're going to have? And I'm just trying to understand how this is going to play out, right, and whether there's advantages to making decisions early on where things are going to go, or to make decisions later. And so I'm trying to understand recertification, certification light, additional network model upgrades, those kind of things that would be triggered if this does roll out in a serial fashion.
Tony, this is Dee. I'll try to answer that question. As we mentioned earlier, the first California ISO needs to be RC certified. We have to go through certification processes of reliability coordinators. Part of the certification is actually review and the area footprint of the reliability coordinator itself. So as the reliability coordinator footprint itself is actually changing and adding in, adding out, there will be sort of a review and recertification for that change. Similar to BA boundary, when we change the BA boundary, there is a change in the certification in some sort. The same similar situations when you do have RC boundary changes, there will be documentation, process, procedures that need to be changed and adopted as well.
And Tony, there was a second aspect to your question I want to try to reinforce. As Petey's saying, we will have to do a recertification. And so if we go back to how we're intending to sort of launch this, we are expecting folks to come in and basically commit with us relatively early on so that we can scale this thing and make sure that we can get everybody transferred, you know, in a group. You used the term serial, and I do want to say it's pretty clear to us now we could not add or transition BAs in just sort of a serial mechanism. We're open to, and what we're trying to do is design something where we may have two windows a year or one window a year, similar we do with EIA. But it is something that we'll have to do it in stages more than sort of a serial type of approach. And part of that goes to the fact that not only do we have to change the full network model, stand up all that information exchange that you referred to, but also the point that Dee Dee was answering and us having to do a light, but still another recertification, we add additional BAs. So it is our intention that we'll have to group people together in order to facilitate that process.
Thank you. You've given me just the answers I was looking for. Appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Tony.
Okay, next question.
And the next caller's line has been unmuted.
Yeah, hi, this is Bob Stanton from PSCO. I have a few questions here. You keep saying that the BAs join. What happens if a TO within a BA wants to join and the BA doesn't? I'm trying to understand why you're classifying it like that.
Yes, Bob, this is Dee Dee. as many of you know, and as you know, that the RC services are really a services for a TOP and a BA functions. And currently, California ISO is the BA and the TOP for the footprint of the California ISO. So that's where we are right now.
Right, but my question is what happens, like, for BAs that have multiple TOs in them? The TO may join Cal ISO and not the BA. That's the question.
Yeah, we'll have to look at the specificity of the situations that you're talking about. I guess I'm wondering if you're talking about TO or a TOP. I'm not aware of a situation where the TO has a direct relationship with the reliability coordinators. Normally, the connection is between the TOP and or BA with the reliability coordinators.
You're right. You just said TOP instead of TO, but there are multiple TOPs within BAs.
Yeah, so Bob, this is Phil. Let's take this as a really good point, and we'll be ready to answer that when we get to those regional meetings. It's a good question. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. The other question is, you said that the ISO will do it for at least 50%. If you get a large mass, what are you thinking the cost might be? It sounds like they'll be below 50% of peak?
Yes. Yes. The cost would continue to go down from there.
Okay. Down another 10%, or haven't you done the math?
You know, Bob, again, it's like I said, we can scale it, but it is going to depend how big the entities are, how many of them. There's a number of factors, and that's why I just can't really be any more specific than that. But it will significantly or continue to go down as we add additional entities.
Thank you. And then the last question. So you must have reached out to FERC. You don't see any roadblocks, because I read in your release that, you know, you had to go to FERC for approval. So you don't see any big issues with FERC approving these changes?
Yeah, let me ask John Anders to take that one for us.
Yeah, well, this is John. We did speak with FERC, of course. We gave them a heads up, but the filings with the commission would be purely for the rates, terms, and conditions of the services. So as Phil outlined, you know, what the rate is, what the rate structure is, and what agreements, if any, might be provided. The services, of course, are associated with the WEC and the NERC functions, and all of that would be overseen by NERC and WEC. It's just, as an ISO, we feel that offering and extending these services to other customers, in other words, non-transmission-owning members of the ISO, we think that the appropriate rate would be a rate that we would file with the FERC. But all other aspects of the services would not be what we would consider to be FERC jurisdictional service or considerations of those services. It's a matter of WEC and NERC reliability standards and compliance.
Okay, thank you.
Also, how many people do we currently have in the queue?
At this time, we have 7 questions in the queue.
Okay, we'll go ahead and go to the next question.
And the next caller's line has been unmuted.
Hi, this is John Pespisa calling from Southern California Edison. Thanks again for having the call today. Was just interested in getting some additional information in the preliminary calculations you did on the cost savings. Is there a possibility that you could provide that material prior to the face-to-face meetings to help with, facilitating that process? I'd be interested in seeing the assumptions around, you know, what systems you plan on sharing, what management structures you plan on sharing, what facilities you plan on sharing that went into that cost calculation.
Well, John, I don't think we'll have that, and it's really probably not relevant to do that in those regional meetings, but it is exactly the heart of the conversation that we want to have with folks in our stakeholder initiative. You know, if you or others have participated in our, you know, general rate case kind of stakeholder initiative or anything like that, you know that we'll get to the very level of detail that you're asking for here. And so we do anticipate to provide that, but that's really going to be appropriate to do that in the stakeholder initiative so we can lay out all of those bits and pieces and then, you know, work to something that folks are comfortable with in terms of once you understand what those costs are, then what's an appropriate way to allocate those costs and determine a billable rate.
I think you missed the point. It gets back to some of the future, the previous questions that were asked about helping us understand how you plan on governing the RC function. So there's governance issues that have to be discussed. There's separation issues that need to be discussed. And I think the other issue that needs to be discussed is the seams issues that this creates in the Western Interconnection that need to be discussed. But to start all of that, and to really understand how you came up with the 50% cost reduction and to help guide those conversations, I think it is important, at least preliminarily, to understand your vision of how you plan on standing this function up at the ISO. And seeing that material sooner rather than later will help guide those discussions.
Okay, well, we'll take your comment here and see what we can do to try to add some more clarity when we get to those regional meetings. I do want to take this opportunity to say that, as John's helped us understand here, the rates, terms and conditions is FERC jurisdictional. The way in which we administrate and manage this is something that we do understand we need to have a conversation with stakeholders about, and so we will do that. So I really hear what you're saying, John, but I think all of us need to parse this into two different topical areas. And I'm trying to point out that it's the second one, the folks with the administration, the management, and the conduct of those RC services that I'm hearing you talk about, because the rates, terms, and conditions will flow from that.
And John, this is John. And I would just add to that that we do recognize that with multiple RCs in the Western Interconnection, there is a standard that requires coordination agreements among RCs. And that we will be engaging in those discussions with PEEC and any other RC that may be adjacent to or need to be coordinated with the California ISO once we become certified. And, of course, the WEC would be looking to that to ensure the appropriate level of coordination among the RCs in the Western Interconnection as part of our certification. So yes, we will be looking into all of that and working through all of those issues with the other RCs here in the West.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, just to reiterate, it'd be helpful to see kind of your assumptions that led, you know, to developing the rate structure, that what I'll call, you know, back of the envelope rate structure that you've been discussing, especially around, like I said, the management structure and the facility structure and tools that'll be shared.
Okay, thanks, John.
All right, Austin, next question, please.
The next caller's line has been unmuted.
Hi, this is Steve Keene from Navigant. I have two quick questions, hopefully. The first one is just out of the eight ISOs and RTOs that are reliability coordinators, how many of those provide service only to their own balancing area, and how many provide services to other balancing areas? And then the second question just concerns the start date in early September. This past September, we saw the highest demand in the ISO and across the West, I believe, for right at the first part of September. Is that the best time to really cut over reliability services?
Hi, this is Didi Subhaktia. I'll try to answer the first question first. The other eight ISOs right now, I do not have the detail of which one that offer RC services just for themselves as opposed to offering the RC services to the additional other BAs and TOP beyond themselves. But you're right that there are a number of RC, out of those eight, there are a number of ISO that offer RC services just from themselves, and there are also multiple ISOs that offer RCs to additional VA beyond their ISO footprint. So that's the first question. I don't have the actual answers, but you are correct that there are variations of and the number, I believe, is not just one, but there are multiple in both category. To answer your second question of cutting over around September timeframe, and that's part of the transition plan that we are doing. As mentioned earlier, we are actually looking at some type of a parallel operation or smooth transitions where we are actually going to start doing stuff in the spring 2019, so not in the September. That way we have some time to actually go through it and do a smooth transitions in there as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Alice, next question.
The next caller's line has been unmuted.
Hi, this is Jerome Gabi from San Diego Gas and Electric. The question, thanks again for setting this up and creating the transparency. The question comes in from the coordinated functional registration agreements that are in place currently, and was wondering whether or not there was any anticipated impact to those agreements with the TOPs that are currently jointly registered.
Yeah, this is John. I'll try to answer that. So we don't anticipate any impact to those agreements because they concern the allocation of the TOP functional responsibilities and not the RC or BA or any other functional responsibilities. So here we're limiting this to the RC function. There's no other functional sharing being contemplated here, either in internal to the ISO's footprint, or if other balancing authorities were receiving those services, no functional sharing, if you will. Simply, the ISO would be providing the RC services in total to that BA or I suppose TOP if we work through those issues that were asked earlier.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, next question.
The next caller's line has been unmuted.
Yes, good morning. This is Mike Andrea at Avista. Thank you for having this call, and we also look forward to the upcoming meetings that you'll have. I've got three really quick questions. One is, are you going to be offering the service to the international entities as well in the Western Interconnection? And my assumption is yes. The other is with regard to costs as folks join your RC, have you determined what the allocation factor will be that you'll use to allocate the costs? Will it be NEL or some other allocator, or is that still open for discussion? And then the third question is, currently, Peak RC provides SIP 14 review, at least for us, and I think for others. Will you be offering that service as well?
Yeah, this is John. I'll try the first two, and I think Didi will take on the third of your questions. So with regard to the international entities, yes, I think we would contemplate offering the services to all of the current funding parties of the Peak Reliability Coordinator. As far as the billing determinants and cost allocations and the details of the rate, our normal process is to have a straw proposal where the ISO would present that to stakeholders. I think Phil mentioned the expectation is that would initiate in the second quarter of this year, and we would at that time be presenting that the details of that information to stakeholders. Currently, we have some thoughts about that. We'd like to you know, hear more from stakeholders through these regional meetings and reflect all of that into a straw proposal that we would share with everyone and receive comments and feedback on that.
So with regard to the SIP 14, we are aware and we know that PKRC does provide that SIP 14 as additional service for other people. That is not a normal RC services as a normal reliability coordinator function. Looking at what California ICE is doing right now as a planning coordinators, we do some analysis with regard to the SIP already. So if that is something that is interested of people of doing as additional services just for the SIP 14 for the operation perspective, we could take a look at that. That's something that we would be part probably some of the engagement on the stakeholder input in there.
Thank you. Appreciate the answers.
Also, how many others do we have in the queue?
We do have one other question in the queue.
Okay.
Thank you. And the next caller's line has been unmuted.
Yeah, hi, this is Brian Thicker with NRG. I'm going to be betraying my age with this question, but I was involved in the 1996 disturbances, and I remember from those disturbances that there was a preference expressed for having a single entity that had an interconnection-wide view as a way to improve the reliability of service in the West. You've made the point several times that there is a number of RCs sprinkled throughout the Eastern Interconnection, but the Western Interconnection is not the Eastern Interconnection. It's a far sparser network, more reliant on long-distance power transfers. So I just would be interested in hearing the ISO's thinking about how you enable, you know, this vision of an interconnection-wide view with increasingly fractured RC service. And, well, I guess I'll leave it at that.
Brian, this is Phil. I guess I'll take this one and be really candid with everyone. We have been consistently supporting the notion of a single RC in the West. However, I think you can appreciate, given our opening remarks and what we've tried to communicate in our press releases, that more and more this Western interconnection is being disrupted by various different activities. And so the first one is to just look at the fact that already there was going to be at least two RCs with MWTG leaving and receiving RC services from SPP. You know, if we look at the total WEC, you've got a third, RC in terms of what's going on up in Canada, right, Dee Dee? So already in this interconnection, there's multiple RCs. So I think we need to first understand that that's the case. And then we can go back to the point that Dee Dee made, that even if you look at the other interconnections, like the eastern one, which is very large, such as ours, you have multiple RCs in those areas as well. So ultimately, what we had to do is assess how this interconnection is changing. And I think our key point is we believe we can still have a very reliable system. And that's really what our main goal is, to continue providing reliability throughout the West, but recognizing that this interconnection was already starting to move more towards what we see in the Eastern Connection.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. I guess I wasn't very articulate with my question. What do you envision as the process for that happening? Do you envision some kind of, you know, real-time coordination between the RC centers? John mentioned the agreement, but I'm really just kind of probing for the ISO thinking about how from a process and a control room standpoint, does the ISO intend to maintain that same level of reliability with multiple RCs?
Sure, Brian, this is Dee Dee. Fortunately, we have a lot of number of people in the California ISO already with a lot of experience with past experience with people that have operated in the Eastern Connection with the multiple RC. So we do see the need and the criticality of having a coordinated SIMS agreement, RC to RC agreement, RC to RC collaboration, and that is critical. And we still do need to have a wide area view of the interconnection, which means that when you think about it, it really means that now the the multiple RC in the Western interconnection actually would have a multiple overlap on the overview of the wide area view. In essence, one could argue that actually the reliability would be increased because now you have multiple people with having multiple overlap wide area view that work together closely. And of course, that is critical, and the criticality is to have a good working relations and coordinations amongst the multiple RC that we have in the interconnections. And we do look to make sure that we are establishing a good RC-to-RC agreement that is required anyway as a part of the certification to have an RC.
Yeah, thanks, Stevie. Again, appreciation to the team for putting this call together, and I look forward to your meetings coming up.
Thanks.
Thank you, Brian. Also, did anybody else in the queue?
We do have one caller in the queue.
Okay.
And that caller's line has been unmuted.
Hello, this is Susan Millar from Bonneville Power Administration. The question I have is on what is CAISO's plan, or does CAISO give any consideration to how it would either retain or transition away from peak RC outage coordination plans, SOL methodologies, RTCA model requirements, and that sort of thing? Do you expect to have that up and running and required of your members as of their participation date, or do you anticipate a transition period so they can take the time to get money together to invest in the systems and models that would have to change to align with your systems and models?
Yes, Susan, this is Didi. You're correct. So part of the plan, and we'll talk a little bit more in the outreach, is to ensure that every DA and TOP that is within and taking reliable coordinator service with us would work together to develop and transition over the number of items that you mentioned, namely outage coordination process, reliable real-time assessment process, day ahead operations planning process, system restoration coordination, just to name the few. And that process would start as a part of the stakeholder engagement that we have. And we do expect that the development would take would start early, and it would take 6 months, 8 months, and then of course you will have to implement that, and that's the detailed implementation. And that's why we are putting 20 months notice, or 18 months or 20 months time frame for implementation of that. We do plan to leverage many of the existing infrastructures and many of the existing practice that we know that is a good practice, and we would like to leverage many of those to make a good and well transitions in there.
And this is Nancy. I just wanted to say that as far as software changes and all of that, our intent would be to try to make that as smooth as possible so that it would be easy to switch over if you needed to without having to make too many software changes, and hopefully as few as possible. So that's another thing that we can also work through as we get into the detail.
Yeah, and thanks, Nancy. Susan, this is Phil. I wanted to go one step further on that and just point out that our design and our commitment to the other BAs is to actually make this easy, in the sense that if we had to have a different system here within the ISO, that we want to build some translators or some mechanisms so that the type of data flow you have to peak today would look similar on your end, and you wouldn't have to make changes in order to integrate with us in the RC services. So that's what we're trying to design, is that smooth a transition.
Okay, thank you.
Also, do we have anybody else in the queue?
And at this time, there are no other questions in the queue.
All right. Well, this is Phil Pettengill again. I do want to thank all of you for joining us. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you where we're going in terms of building up the RC function here. And again, really want to invite all of you to attend at least one of the meetings we have, the regional meetings on 17, 18, 19, and then engage with us when we launch our stakeholder initiative to work out some of the pricing details as well. So with that, I'll say thank you for joining us and have a great rest of the week.
And just quickly, this is Christina from Stakeholder Affairs. We are planning to post a presentation prior to those meetings,
yeah,
a couple days in advance. And we also, if you are going to attend those meetings in person, if you could please RSVP, we'd greatly appreciate it. And if you're not able to attend in person, we will have web conferences available. The details for those are in the market notice as well as on our public calendar. So thank you again for joining us, and thanks, Asif, for your help. Have a great rest of your day.